this is all very complicated. And on we went. So, you know, I was, and you usually are that father, you take notes. And I try to take some notes, but I got so lost with these tools and little things and mothers. And I don't know, he was talking all these details. Then I thought to myself, I also said to him, Father, you know, why is he talking about this? Can't he talk something that I can relate to? And sometimes I was trying to follow and listening to everything. And why I was asking, why is he talking to me about these things? Why is he talking to us about this? We're not going out to other countries selling machines. At least I cannot imagine, you know. So then all of a sudden I had this big revelation that my heart opened and I recognized he is speaking to us because he loves us. He just wants to spend the time with us. And it was a big revelation that even though he was just one man sitting in this chair, I felt this big wave of love and of light coming like a rainbow between from his chair to myself. And I was crying because I recognized that this is what he's talking the machine tools about. The point was not the tools. But if he, you know, he has 35 or 40 people, he doesn't go around hugging everybody. And then he doesn't go to everybody and say, I love you. He did say, you know, that he's proud of us and that because we never left our place and our country, that was an achievement, even though we felt we didn't accomplish very much. He said that was not the point. So he gave us kind of nice feedback. But anyhow, so in this situation, when he said that, and I had felt that, then I was all in tears, you know. Just quiet, no loud, no noise. I couldn't believe that this is what I felt. And then he said, 5 minutes after I was sitting, and I was still kind of, wow, he loves us. This is the point that I just felt this love. Then he said, well, the reason I called you, because I wanted to spend time with you. And he said the same thing, it's because I wanted to see your faces. And so that made me even more cry, because what I had experienced and by myself, he confirmed 5 minutes. So it wasn't just maybe something which I afterwards could think or imagine. It was real. So in this seat, just across from me, was sitting once a kid who had only heard and read about before, and I had seen him in the 6 previous days when Father spoke in Lancaster Gate. I had just seen him sit there. So he was there, and I think I was making no noise at all. I was just crying. Maybe I was sniffing. Maybe that's what. But he turned around, looked in my face and smiled, you know. And that was another thing where I felt such a, like a lake of love. And then there was God connected with it, there was True Father was connected, and there was also one with Kim connected with it, and myself. So then, you know, when Father said, oh, and now I'm leaving, and then everybody said, no, no, and I was just there in my little world of tears and of joy and of love, and I couldn't believe what was happening, and they were kind of having a different conversation with Father. I'm still digesting this inside of myself. And then, you know, he was leaving and everybody said, Shabbat, thank you, you know, the whole crowd. And I was just still there, kind of just sitting and writing down what I had just experienced, that Father had confirmed this. And then once Kim looked at me, because I thought, this I must never forget. So and then everyone left, and then once Kim walked out the aisle, and he kind of smiled at me, looked at me, and actually this is also the starting point of a 10-year relationship, special relationship, I think, from my side, with once Kim, every once in a while when I met him. But that was the start of us knowing each other, and it was this kind of level of heart where I really experienced, not just kind of when I sit in my own prayer room, but through other people, that through this heart you experience of peace, you experience tears of joy, and at the same time there's a lot of humility and simplicity. There's nothing so special, it's just a special feeling. And I think this experience embarked me on not just catching a glimpse of what maybe God's heart is, but to experience this more and more. There were some other experiences I had with True Father, kind of directly. Once, because of what I said to Reverend Clark about my feeling, changed the program for a whole lot of us. But I'm not going to go into this today. And just what it taught me, that is, you know, we have words, but the most important thing, what is behind the words? Or there's Father, or there's a situation, what can we see behind it? The same now again about the sunset, or what we read in here, you know, that God has rumili stunu saikinapioi, and what is this now?
Embodied.
He embodied it. Embodied everywhere, so in a way that actually, you know, we can see the snow, but if we see the heart behind, we can see that this is God loving me. Also in those days, there was this famous little quote from Reverend Sudo, when he said, and that's when I started to understand this quote, and have you ever cried because you saw one tiny flower? Have you ever cried because you saw one tiny flower? If you have, then you have understood God's love for you. And I had always liked that, but I think I began to understand it around that time. So many years later, I said I was just taking some pictures. In 1982, I became a journalist in the German capital for American newspaper, for the New York City Tribune. And it was a very lonely time because I was the only one doing this kind of mission. And it was quite in the beginning. I had just chosen a new apartment, actually apartment. I had a little student room, sharing the kitchen, the toilet with some other students because I got paid very little. And remember, I got home, and in the evening, maybe it must have been autumn, then, you know, there was this breeze coming towards me. I was walking nearby the Rhine River, and this breeze, and for the first time I thought, it's not just the wind. Also, Reverend Sudo, you know, he used to talk about skin touch with God. When he used to say, Father, you have skin touch with God. But that time I felt it was the wind. And though as a child, I always liked the storm. But this time I didn't feel just the wind against my cheeks and how you can feel the air. That's the good thing about Finnish autumn. The Finnish, there's this cool air, you feel it. In the summer you don't feel it, it's just free. But in the autumn it's cool and you feel how, you feel it. And it smells good, the earth. So, and that one day I was walking home, and I don't know, I had a lot of little burden inside of myself, how I should do this job and do all the stuff I needed to do. Anyhow, I was this air in my felt. I just started to cry. It was just a normal walk home. There were other people. There were even cars nearby and houses. And just I felt God's love in my heart. I felt it was God touching me. And so it wasn't the wind on my cheek which I felt, but it was I felt touched by God's love inside my heart. And I just had to just subdue the tears because I was on a public road, so I didn't really want to cry in a public road, but I felt so moved because I felt God was caressing my heart. So soon after that, I made a poem about that, and about that, there was a couple I wrote in that at that time, that was kind of the first time where I felt really God's love behind the things where they actually reached my heart, and where things where something really good comes from within me. And that's where God is, not just outside in the wind. At the same time that He's outside, He's also inside of me. And then another thing, also during my journalist years, that was the one a major station in my life of faith, I think it must have been about 84, I had tried to imitate Father, you know. I mean, that was the one thing you were holding on to. And Father had spoken of his life, a philosophy of life, a philosophy of faith being that, you know, he doesn't actually wait for God to help him, at least not now. Forgive me, I'm just saying it how I remember the feeling of it, okay, not the exact word. That then, but, you know, he doesn't wait for God to tell him what to do. Even before God asked him, he's going out and doing it, and then coming back and giving God the results. So I had a very physical job because I had to report every week 3 articles to New York, which means I had to attend all the conferences and read all the newspapers and listen to all the news continually so I could write something, an article of, you know, 2-3 pages, 3 times a week that was interesting in America, and not just every little thing that was happening every day because this was a foreign news, but it had to be interesting enough. Anyway. So I was very busy, and in Bonn that time, truly 2,000 journalists, mainly men, who were reporting into all the world. It was the time of the Pershing, the Cold War, peace movement. There was a lot of things going on. And I felt, you know, I was going out there in this kind of foreign world, in this jungle of intellectualism and glitter at times. And actually, I was just a simple me, you know. And so many times I came back, you know, I tried in this world to keep the dignity of God's daughter. But when I came home, many times I locked the door, I closed the door, and I was just kind of, oh, Heavenly Father, you know, here I am, Father, I'm home again. And then there was one experience I had when, because I had this attitude, now I'm going out, I did tell God what I was going to do, I had a plan, you know, but it was kind of, I tried to do my best, and when I come home, then I was greeting God again, I was telling him what I did. And sometimes there was the feeling that actually you didn't really do so well, or it didn't work out as you had wanted. Anyway, that one prayer at the end of the day, or after I had come home, I had another kind of, how shall I say, revelation. Not a real revelation, but some kind of experience, where all of a sudden I recognized this way that I'm doing. You know, I want to also be the one following Father, and I'm doing the great thing, and then I'm coming home, I'm telling God, even before he asked me all the stuff I did, you know, I was quite self-motivated, very disciplined and things, but anyway. So I noticed then, in this particular moment, that this was not what God wanted. Here, I felt God was saying to me, I want to come along with you. I don't want you to go out, I want to be by your side. And I don't want to be the one stuck in the house, and when I come back here, God is again, and I'm locking him in, and I'm going out. And such a deep feeling that I thought, okay, maybe this style that I try to do, it doesn't work for me. Or at least there's a big realization that I want to take God's hand, and he wants to take mine during the whole day. Whether I'm on the toilet, or whether I'm in a press conference, or whether it's, at least I can never do this kind of all day, but this understanding that Heavenly Father wants to be part of it all the time, and he wants to walk with me all the time, and he doesn't want to be left behind and me to tell him afterwards, this is what I did. He wants to be right there on the spot with me and not be left behind, whether I sleep or do or whatever. And somehow this doing things together, that kind of changed at that moment. It changed the quality of my relationship with Heavenly Father somehow. From that time on, it wasn't kind of so distant. God is over there, and then I'm over here. I think that's when I kind of started to kind of think, okay, now we're doing this together. Or God is around me, God is inside me, and I'm taking God with me. And as I said, until that time, it was kind of a little distant. I tried to do God's will, but the awareness that it should. Heavenly Father should be with you all the time. Wasn't very strong until exactly that time. And what I recognized then also over the years of trying to practice this, because usually you have one experience, you know, in a prayer or maybe outside, but then you can't keep it. You can't keep it in your everyday activity. You lose it again, right? So, but over the years, I felt that every time when I had this really the feeling, the connection to God's heart. There was always a deep desire for God to be with us, to be with me, but, and God to be at the spot, and if possible, just like we read in here, you know, that we should be able to say that the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. Or other people should say, oh, this was something good that I saw, that even though they're not conscious, and there shouldn't be, like, you know, arrogance on our part, but they should see God in us. So many times, of course, we can't do it, but that's kind of, at least I recognize this was the goal. And what I understood over the years of certain kind of experience of trying to reconnect to that heart, at least in prayer, then, and was that also, this is where the true me lies. You know, they're talking about this restoration of truth, and of the personality, and of the heart. And then I see it, and you know, how many times we made efforts to change your personality, because I felt I'm too impatient and I'm too spontaneous. I still am. But anyway, you have all these things that you try to change and they try to improve. And then, but I think from that time on, little by little, I began to understand that I began not to focus so much on the mistakes I'm making, because they're so frustrating that even now sometimes I think, oh, just I should never even have embarked on it. If the whole course is hopeless. But to kind of, that time I can think, I begin to start to focus on the positive, or focus on it when I could feel something about God, and I felt I had value. And there was something which is the true me. So I think as we search for the world of heart, as we search for something inside of us, I think we can find Heavenly Father or Heavenly Mother, Heavenly Parents. But that's where we, I think, find the original self, the original me. Where what I'm doing comes from the bottom of my heart. My motivation is from deeply within. And then I recognize that actually I'm a part of God without wanting to be, you know, blasphemous, like that was Jesus was accused of, but that actually there's something inside me which is God's character. That's what He created, and according to what we read in here, whether I like it or not, I am a part of God. And God dwells in me. The point is just how much do I allow the Godness to be visible and come out? How much do I develop this divinity, if you will, inside me? And my understanding of what the first blessing means, to be one with God. How much can God come out of me? And that also means, and I think I've experienced over the years every once in a while, not continuously, that if I am a part of God, whether I like it or not, because I am a part of God, and we all are a part of God, that even though we make a mistake, it cannot be that God just kind of, you know, is really angry and upset. And it doesn't and leaves us because we have done this, or that I condemn myself because I've done made a mistake or something. That when I recognize I'm a part of Heavenly Father, I'm a part of God, or God is a part in me, that means actually God will always be on my side, and God can never leave me. And you know, whatever kind of thing happens, we cannot just say God is separated from me now, or I'm separated from God in that sense. Do you know what I mean? Somehow God is always there, and in that sense, whatever crimes people commit, there's a part in them where God is there. And whether we deny God or not, God is there. Anyhow, that kind of gave me a lot of confidence in my personal development. And that's one thing I want to say. You know, Father used to talk, and as you know, if you think of this prophet book, I rely a lot on my whole foundation of religious life, on the early things that I learned from to Father. I'm sorry to say, but I don't listen so much to the things now, because I think they're on a certain level where I am not. So I'm listening to a lot of these things which are meant for individual level. And, you know, he used to talk a lot about meditation. And I think there was a time when I didn't even know what meditation meant, or we think about yoga, where people hum certain words, which might be helpful. But I think he used to also say that, you know, before you can really focus in prayer and meet God, you know, let your mind be open, and then you have all these thoughts and things come. So let them all pass, all your thoughts and ideas. And then when they have finished coming to you, you know, like what to cook and where to go and what color was that, and what did that other person say to me, as these thoughts come, and when they have passed, then you can pray. That's what I heard, and then I had joined around in the 80s. This was kind of something that was circling around you, that your thoughts and things pass before you can actually really start praying. And so I think, you know, when we pray, we usually we say a lot of things, or very easily, and we say our list of things, but in a meditation, I think we can more like, you know, like it's like throwing the onki. What's the onki? Fishing rod. The fishing rod, we're throwing it out, and you know, we're trying to catch God, I think, in a meditation, within and without. And then so there's prayer, there's meditation, and I think the answer that God gives is what is commonly called communion. You know, that's when God comes down and you see a communing with God, without words or with words. And this, prayer or meditation brings me to one point, because we try to pray a lot, and I'm just wondering, I want to say this kind of to second generation youngsters, you know, that it would be very good to do these kind of things in prayer, not just to say, list number one, number two, number three, number four, you go through the things that you pray for, but to open your heart in prayer and let it meditate, let thoughts go and come, all these worldly things, until you come to a point of peace where you can actually have your fishing rod out to see whether you can catch something of God's love into your heart and see if God comes down. And I want to say one word about what I feel about tradition, also basically what I feel is important for you young people here. Many times when we talk about tradition, we mean certain kind of external rules and set of things that we ought to be doing that set us apart from another group, from other groups that are doing a certain other set of traditions or rules or things that they're doing that way, we're doing them this way. But I feel from various experiences I had kind of personally with two fathers, or different understand that I feel from my experiences with God, that the tradition that Father really wished to teach all the time was that we put Heavenly Father in first place, and that we really love other people. Because I had that experience with two fathers also, where I saw other people didn't actually love somebody, but he did. And so how can we love God, and how can we love other people? Many times it doesn't work, but to have that attitude, to want to. I think that is the main tradition that Father wants to teach. And I feel also when we have a certain tradition, be it the pledge, or be it the Sunday service, or be it certain conditions we make, I think it's very important to see, to understand, or to feel the heart behind it, the heart from myself, but also why I'm doing it. Do I do my 40 bows, and now I've done my sports condition? Or have I had some feeling where I'm trying to meet Heavenly Father, or restore sins of ancestors, or of history, while I'm doing it? So because I think easily, when we have tradition without relating to artistic matter, then it just becomes a set of rules that in the end are going to limit us, because on the level of heart, things are infinite, and Heavenly Father is infinite. And I think there's infinite creativity. That's why I also said in this book, you know, there are so many ways to reach God as their faces in human people. So I think, like in the ideal world, maybe every family will kind of invent their own kind of way of how they do certain things. And there's going to be joy, and there's going to be freedom, and it's not, or it has to be exactly this way. I think when a tradition comes to the point when you say, well, it must be this way, it just becomes a strict thing without heart behind, where we have the joy of meeting Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother, then it becomes things that are going to limit us sooner or later. So, to end, then I would like to say that I feel, you know, I can see in my life course touching upon God's heart, and gives you a lot of hope. I think the challenge we have, and as we grow towards perfection, fulfilling the first blessing, the challenge is that we have to have this consciousness or this awareness of living with God or living with the world of heart, to take this into our everyday life, in the little worldly things that we have to do. Not long ago, maybe end of September, I received an email from Brigitte Bala. She was a close friend of mine. With her is another person like that, that she writes, and she writes all these things. And we have this tradition between us, or ours, this history, that we share quite honestly about certain challenges we face. And I think she's so honest about it. I think maybe also I hope to have been honest about things. But then I read that, her message, and I was in tears, not because it was so sad what was wrong, there was also good things, but just because we love each other. There's a lot of love or heart. And I feel that was in the middle of the day, not in a prayer. So that was so nice to have this in a kind of in a, my food was cooking, and I thought, now I quickly check my email. And then I had this, how should I explain it, that this pool of love or cloud of heart just reading these few lines on a computer, but you know, it opened a world of a heart. So, and then I carried that to the food, and I think when kids came and said, what we have to eat today, I think I was in a good mood. So I think our challenge is obviously to have the awareness of living with God on a, not only on a daily basis, but like throughout the day, and to dwell with God every day. But I, because it comes, it's very easy to get into habit and do things out of habit. But how to live with this consciousness or this awareness. And then I can say that because living in the worldly situations and you constantly encounter things that are frustrating or that block this original need to come out, or maybe we just have to build it and develop this original inside us. But then remembering, you know, how it is when you have this heart experience with Heavenly Father, with certain other people, when you dwell on this heart beam, or I don't know how to explain, like a beam, you know, this realm, then that is kind of thing that I can hold on to. Because there are always going to be, as long as there's restoration to be done, frustrating moments and things that seem hopeless, or you start to feel unworthy and they're useless and many things like that. But then having hold on to this, or having experienced it, at least it has always given me hope. And I think these kind of experiences with the heart that we have, sometimes in our sisters' meetings, or in a prayer, or with somebody, or as we read something, when we can experience with God, I think this is the start. And I think it shows us what we should kind of experience as a goal all the time in our everyday archipiva elana as well. Weekday life. I'm going to close with a prayer. Dearest Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, Heavenly Father, I pray from the bottom of my heart that you could have been with us here this morning. I want to thank you for the many different things I've experienced in my life, and truly that we all have experienced in our lives. You have been concerned about us. You have wanted to meet us. You have wanted to reach out to us. Sometimes we didn't hear you, and many times we didn't even see you. Many times we don't notice until years later that something that happened in our lives was because you wanted us to see you. You wanted us to grow through it. Heavenly Father, I pray that because of the merit of the time, you can come down on earth more and more, and that your ancient and old desire to have your heart among men can be realized by us and then by the people of this world. There are many Christians who are looking for it, many conscientious people in the world. They're longing for peace. They're longing for true love. And we, Father, as the followers of the Messiah who's now on earth still, we want to open our hearts and allow you to be with us. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that you can dwell in our hearts more and more with every day. And when we face challenges and difficulties, that especially then we will open our hearts to you and seek for an answer and seek for comfort, not just only to be comforted, but to be able to go on and to pioneer something new in all of history. Many saints did a lot of good things, but we never had enough community-level kingdom of heaven on earth. Heavenly Father, I pray that we can offer our hearts and our mouths and our eyes and our ears and our hands and our feet so that you can have an opportunity to be through us, whatever we do. Father, I used to pray in a very old prayer that I wrote down, that let us speak the things with your understanding. Let us feel what you feel, and let us do what you want us to do. That we not only are a channel for your love or a channel for your goodness, but that we can be more one with you than ever before. Father, I pray that we make progress in this sense in this coming week, and that by developing our good, divine, original self, that we can, by that way, avoid doing the things wrong as we have done throughout history. That we will learn through the developing the goodness within us and the true love within us, that we can stop repeating all these mistakes of history and the mistakes in our own life. Heavenly Father, I pray especially for the young people here, for the second generation, that they make their own encounters with you personally, that they don't just repeat what we adults say, but they meet you face to face themselves and heart to heart. Pray this in my name, Sister Hasina, Sister Hasina, in Amen.